مبلغ for you is my prayer. مبلغ for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success share. مبلغ for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success share.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Alhamdulillah, there are many virtues of reciting durood salutations upon the best of creation. The compassionate and noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, on the day of judgment, there will be no shade except the shade of the throne of Allah azza wa jal. Three categories of people will be in the shade of this throne. Upon hearing this, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, who will they be? The mercy to mankind sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, the one who relieves my follower from a calamity, the reviver of my sunnah, and the one who abundantly recites durood upon me. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Dear Islam brothers, Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed us with countless favors and bounties. And a great favor which man has been granted is the tongue. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Holy Quran, Surah Balad, verse 8 and 9, Alam naj'al lahu aynayn wa lisanan wa shafatayn. Have we not made for him two eyes and a tongue and two lips? The tongue is a very common part of our body which we use regularly. Now let's analyze and take a look at what we know about this part of the body. What is our general knowledge about this part of our body? I'll mention some basic facts which most of us will know. The tongue is found in both animals and humans. Is a fleshy muscular organ which sits on the floor of our mouth. It has taste buds. It helps us to swallow food. Is the principal organ of speech. And it is the main part of the body that we use to communicate with one another. Day in, day out, we use the tongue. But still, apart from these few basic facts, we really do not have an understanding about the importance of the tongue. These are basic facts that we all know. Now, let's look at how deep the pious ulama and the saints of Allah Ta'ala have delved and what they have said regarding the tongue. How have they understood the tongue? Hakimul Ummat, Hazrat Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi says, it should be remembered that the eye looks at others, but it cannot see itself. Whereas the tongue, it can describe its own condition. Other outer limbs are in pairs. Two eyes, two ears, two hands, two feet. They're in pairs. But the tongue is alone. It is one. So the man can talk less and work more. If he had two tongues, he'd talk even more. So he's got one tongue so that he talks less and works more. And also he should maintain one tongue. I.e. he be a man of his word. He should stick to his word. This is a man of one tongue. A person who has two tongues is a munafiq, a hypocrite. The tongue and the heart are one. We have one heart as well. We don't have two hearts. We have one heart. So one tongue, one heart. Furthermore, he says that it should be remembered that on the tongue of some people, the nafs-e-ammara, the baser self, speaks. On the tongue of some, the devil speaks, the shaitan speaks. On the tongue of others, the malaika, the angels speak. Whilst on the tongue of some, Allah Ta'ala himself speaks. Hujjatul Islam, Imam Muhammad Ghazali, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says, the tongue is from amongst the strange creations of Allah Azza wa Jal. Outwardly, it seems like a piece of meat, but in reality, it has a grasp over all existing things. In fact, it also has a grasp over those things which do not exist, which are not in existence, i.e. emotions, feelings. The tongue, it can even explain these things, which have no physical appearance. The tongue is the deputy of intellect. Everything which comes within the boundaries of the akal, the intellect, anything that we can understand, it is described by the tongue. So whatever we imagine, whatever we understand, it would stay in our minds. But it is through the tongue that we write it down or we explain it to others. So look at how important this part of our body is. There is no other part of the body which is like the tongue. For example, the eye cannot see anything apart from colors, shapes and forms. The ear cannot hear anything other than sound. In fact, there are some sounds that the ear can't hear as well. The ears can't hear, such as the dog whistle. It's so high in pitch that a human being cannot hear this whistle. Only dogs can hear it. So even the ears are limited. And the hand can only touch or grip hold of materialistic things. The nose can only smell something which has a scent. And like this, all the limbs of the body have their own little department which they deal in. But the playground of the tongue is vast. It is vast. The kingdom of the tongue is like the kingdom of the heart. It has a rule over all the body. It rules the body. Whatever the heart has a rule over, the tongue also has some sort of influence over it. Whatever appears in the heart can be communicated and expressed and brought out into the world in the form of words via the tongue. So through the tongue, we have an insight into a person's heart. By the way a person speaks, we can understand how he thinks, whether he is of a good nature or a bad nature. Whatever he is from inside, it is his tongue that will tell us. Because it is only through his speech that we'll be able to judge what kind of person he is. If he talks filthy, then we know he has a filthy mind and he has a filthy heart. If he talks good, he's spreading good, then we know in his nature, he is a good person. So this is how important understanding this part of the body is, that we understand a person's nature through his speech. Now, the tongue can soften a person's heart or it can make it hard. Hazrat Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam, he says, other than the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, do not say anything else in abundance. Otherwise, your hearts will become hard, and a hard heart is always distant from Allah Ta'ala. But you do not know and you do not have knowledge of this. So, other than the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, speak very little. Otherwise, when you say something wrong, you move away, you distance yourself from the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Sayyidina Baba Fariduddin Ganje Shakar, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says, when Allah Ta'ala wanted to place the tongue in the blessed mouth of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, he addressed the tongue, he talked to the tongue and he said, O tongue, the reason for creating you is that other than my name, you do not mention anybody else's name. Allah Ta'ala, before putting the tongue into the mouth of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, he addressed the tongue and said that other than my name, do not mention anybody else's name. Apart from my words, my kalam, you do not read any other words. If you say anything other than this, then you and the rest of your body will have to face calamities. Then you and the rest of the body will have to face calamities. Hazrat Taus, he says, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says, my tongue is a beast. It's a beast. If I let it loose, it will eat me up. It will destroy me. And Hazrat Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, taking a an oath saying kasam. He says, nothing is in need of being caged more than the tongue. Nothing is in need of being caged more than the tongue. This is how important it is to control our tongue. If we look at our hands, we'll see that there is nothing protecting them. And it's the same with the feet and most of the parts of our body. The eyes do have some sort of protection. When the eyes do not want to see something, the eyelids, they close. But this is nothing major. All it is a thin piece of skin. Our eyelids, what are they? A thin piece of skin, which when we close, our eyes are covered. But if we look at the tongue, look at this. It is surrounded by 32 guards. And it is locked behind two gates. Now, what are these guards? You're thinking, what are these gates? It is protected. Who are the guards? 32 teeth. The teeth we have, they are guarding the tongue. And the two lips that we have, they are the gates for this tongue. But as soon as this beast wants to get loose, it tosses away the guards, breaks through the gates, and it is out loose and is uncontrollable. And it is free to say whatever it wants to say. Once somebody spoke for a very long time in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was speaking continuously. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, how many doors are there to your tongue? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked this person, how many doors are there to your tongue? The person replied, my lips and my teeth. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, there was none from amongst them that could stop your speech. They could not stop you from speaking. Your tongue was just continuously talking. All day long, the tongue is in action. The only time it rests is when we're asleep. And in fact, some people are so talkative that when they're asleep, they're still talking. They're sleep talking. What we say is sleep talking. And the tongue is very disloyal because when you're asleep and talking, you let out secrets as well. You let out your in, because whatever is in the heart comes to the tongue. When you're asleep, you are unconscious. You won't know what you're saying. And you'll be letting out the inner secrets of your heart. So somebody who talks a lot, he'll be letting out secrets as well. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, in the morning, all the body parts say to the tongue. All the body says to the tongue, pleads, requests the tongue, that fear Allah, because we are all connected to you. If you remain straight, then we will be straight as well. If you become crooked, then we'll become crooked as well. I.e., if you deviate, then we'll deviate as well. Meaning, if you say something good, then the rest of the body will remain good. But if you say something that you shouldn't, then the rest of the body will have to face the consequences. Hazrat Sufyan Thawri, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says, don't say such things that will make people break your teeth. Don't say such things. The tongue not only protects the body, it also protects our a'mal, our good deeds as well. A person who does not look after his tongue and is busy speaking all the time will certainly fall into the sin of ghibat, backbiting. Ghibat destroys a person's good deeds. It is as though he is throwing his good deeds away. When somebody does ghibat, it is as though he is throwing all his good deeds away. That explains this. It said that once someone told Hazrat Imam Hassan Basri radiallahu ta'ala anhu that such a person, he was backbiting you. Hazrat Hassan Basri, he wasn't like us. This was somebody who was pious, who had an understanding of the deen. He smiled. And instead of, if it had been me and you, we would have backbited and we would have said two or three things extra than what we have heard from that person. But Hazrat Hassan Basri, he smiled, he went to the marketplace, he bought a tray full of dates, and he gave it to that person. He said, go and give this tray of dates to that person who is backbiting me, and tell him, Jazakallahu khaira, thank you very much for giving me all your good deeds by backbiting me. This is a gift from me to you for giving me all your good deeds. And then he further explained that when somebody backbites, the person who is biting, all his own good deeds goes to that person. So this is how this Buzurg was teaching that person and doing his Islah. When that person received the dates and he received the message, he was ashamed of what he had done. And straight away he came and fell into the feet of Hazrat Hasan Basri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and he repented and became a pious person. So look at how he did his Islah. Someone once spoke about ghibat, about the topic of backbiting in front of Hazrat Abdullah bin Mubarak radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He said, if I thought that doing ghibat of somebody was right, then I would do ghibat of my mother. I would backbite my mother. Why? Because she is the one who is most entitled to my good deeds. What a beautiful saying. That she is entitled. If I was to backbite anybody, I would, and if I thought it was right, then I would backbite my own mother. Why? Because she has the most right. She is entitled to my good deeds before anybody else. Subhanallah. Once Hazrat Hatim Asam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he missed his tahajjud salah. He missed the night prayer. His wife criticized him and said, you didn't get up for tahajjud today. What happened? You stayed asleep. Your practice, your daily practice that you wake up for tahajjud namaz, but today you didn't get up. Listen to his reply. He said, yesterday a group of people prayed nafal namaz all night long. In the morning they did my ghibat. They started backbiting me. Now how do we spend our nights when we get together? Do we talk sense or do we spend all night backbiting? Or if we do stay awake and do ibadat, eventually where does it lead? When we shut the Quran Pak, or we stop praying nafal namaz, or we stop doing Naat Khani, what do we do? Do we sit down and stop backbiting? We should all ask ourselves. He says that in the morning they did my ghibat. On the day of judgment, their night worship, their ibadat will be placed in my good deeds. All their ibadat that they did all night will be placed in my good deeds, because in the morning they did my ghibat. So why, if I didn't get up for tahajjud namaz, I still will get all that sawab in my night ibadat. So if we are doing all these nafli ibadat, if we're praying ishraq jasht, those brothers who do madri inamat, we should, all of us should be doing fikr-e Madina. If we are doing ishraq jasht nawafil, we're waking up for tahajjud namaz, this is all good. This is all brilliant. It's all good for our akhirat. But if at the same time we're backbiting, lying, breaking promises, and getting involved in all these sins of the tongue, then all the ibadat will be going to the people who we've been backbiting. They might be sleeping at home, they might be resting at home, but they're getting all the good deeds that we're doing, they're getting all the thawab because we sat there backbiting. So if we're doing all this, if we're waking up in the middle of the night doing tahajjud namaz, if we're staying awake after fajr and doing ishraq jasht, awabin, and all these good actions, then protect them as well. Don't fall into the trick of the shaitan and start backbiting and waste your good deeds. So protecting the tongue is protecting our amal as well. When we protect our tongue, we protect our amal as well. The tongue is the best and the worst part of the body as well. It said Hazrat Hakim Luqman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was a black Habshi slave. The first piece of hikmat, the first piece of wisdom that came from him was that once his master, he said, O slave, slaughter this goat and bring me the best meat from it. Slaughter this goat and bring to me the best meat of this goat. Hakim Luqman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he slaughtered the goat and gave his master the heart and the tongue of the goat. This was the first piece of hikmat that came from him. The master gave another order. He said, go and slaughter another goat now. And now he says, bring me the worst part of the body. And then after you've slaughtered the goat, bring me the worst part of the body of the goat. Hakim Luqman again, he gave the master the heart and tongue again. The master asked the reason for bringing the same parts of the body. The first time when he asked for the best, He bore the tongue and the heart. And the second time when he asked for the worst, he bore the tongue and the heart again. And listen to his answer. He replied, if these two parts of the body are well, then there is no other part of the body that is better than these. If they are good, then there is no other part of the body that is better than this. And if these two parts are corrupt, if they are in fitna, then there is no other part of the body that is worse than these two as well. So the heart and the tongue, they can be the best part of the body and they can be the worst part of the body as well. When the tongue is corrupt, it will disgrace you. And it will land you in all sorts of trouble and pain. But when it is straight, it grants you dignity, honor and respect. So if we learn how to control our tongue, we'll gain izzat and honor as well in our communities, in our families. The tongue has a good side and it has a bad side as well. The good side is that it can be used to do the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, to recite Durood e Pak, to recite Naats. It can be used to give dars. It can be used to deliver a sunnah-inspired speech, to invite someone towards good, to forbid evil. You can use the tongue to do masses and masses of good deeds. You can use the tongue to put happiness in the heart of other Muslims as well. This is a great amal as well. Hazrat Bishr Hafi, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says, to make the heart of a Muslim happy, this is better than performing hajj, nafli hajj, 100 times. Making sure that you don't lie and you don't say something which is against the Shariat. Just to put happiness into the heart of a believer. This, look at the virtue of this good deed. So how do we get this thawab? Again, through our tongue. How we speak. How many times do we break people's hearts? Have we ever thought of this? You and I, how long have we been in the mahol? Some of us here, 10 years, 15 years, more maybe. How much have we controlled our tongue? Think about it. Me and you included, all of us. How much have we learned to control our tongue? 10, 15 years in the mahol. We listen to these bayans again and again. We hear our Amir Ahl Sunnat mentioning this controlling of the tongue again and again. Kufle Medina, Kufle Medina. How much, where have we got to? I'll ask myself, you ask yourself, how much have you controlled your tongue? If he's somebody who does Fikre Medina every night, he'll have some sort of control over his tongue. Otherwise, you know, we all know our own state, how much we control our tongue. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Just to finish off, I'm going to talk about two of the main major sins that are carried out by the tongue. The first is, which is armed in our community, in our gatherings, in our youngsters, fahish kalam, talking indecently, immodestly. What is classed as indecent talk? Fahish kalam is to speak using crude words regarding matters which are detested and taboo. For example, mentioning the name of private parts, your private organs, these are all under fahish kalam, indecent talk. And our Buzurgani Deen, they used to be very careful when it came to protecting their tongue from indecent talk. Hazrat Ala bin Harun, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says that once Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he was suffering because he had a wart, a big spot that sprung up under his armpit. And so he says, we went to do iyadat to ask how he is. Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he was very cautious when it came to protecting his tongue. When we asked him about this spot that had appeared under his armpit, he replied, look at his modesty, his haya. He replied, it has come up towards the inside of my hand. He didn't want to say armpit. He said, it has come up on the inside of my hand. Just so that he didn't have to use this word. There are severe punishments in store for the people who talk indecently. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there will be some people in the fire of hell who will have dirty, filthy najasat, impurity coming from their mouths. Ghalazat, impurity, flowing from their mouths, flowing. Because of the foul smell, the other people who are in the fire of hell will cry out and ask, who are these people? It will be said, these are those people who used to talk indecently. Reflect, brothers, what goes on in our gatherings? How do we talk to one another? University, college, school, even primary school, little kids swearing, talking indecently. Hazrat Ibrahim bin Maisara, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says, the one who talks indecently will be raised on the day of judgment as a kutta, as a dog. Yeah? Today, every other word we speak is a swear. Swearing is 100% indecency. If we examine the meanings of the swears, sometimes we say things, but we don't even think about what we're saying. We don't examine what we are saying. And we'll see that these words are full of explicit sexual content. The words we're using are full of explicit sexual content. And unfortunately, we shamelessly use these words and attribute them to other sisters, mothers and fathers. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, the lanat, the curse of Allah ta'ala is on that person who swears at his own mother and father. The people asked, what kind of person does this? The reply was, the one who swears at other people's mothers and fathers, because other people will then swear at his mother and father. So is as if that he is swearing at his own parents. So some, when you swear at other people's parents, you're really swearing at your own parents. Listen very carefully to the next hadith pak. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Jannat, paradise, is haram for the one who talks indecently. In the translation of the Silent Prince, it says, entry to heaven is banned for that individual who uses foul language whilst conversing with others. My dear brothers, if a spoon falls into najasat, impurity, it will become pure when washed with water. But the tongue becomes impure with indecency, then even the seven seas will not be able to purify this tongue when we talk indecently. The second guna, the second sin that is used excessively in our communities and in our families, in the youngsters, we're all involved in this. Lying. This is also committed through the tongue. Lying. Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, whoever speaks a lot, he lies a lot. Somebody who speaks a lot, he lies a lot. Whoever has a lot of wealth, he commits a lot of sins. And whoever has a bad character, he brings the azab of Allah ta'ala on himself. He's calling for the punishment of hell. The punishment of Allah ta'ala. Because of his bad character. Lying is a kabira guna, a major sin. Lying decreases your risk. And now listen to this hadith pak. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I saw two men. One was standing, one was sitting. The one sitting had a large metal hook in his mouth. A large metal hook in his mouth. And the man that was standing was pulling it to the left, pulling it to the right, ripping the man who was sitting down, ripping his mouth open with a metal hook. Just think about how severe and how painful this will be. Somebody putting a hook into your mouth and ripping your mouth open. Each time his mouth would get better and then he would rip it again. So each time, once he'd ripped it, it'd be cured and then he'd start ripping it again. And this will continue till the day of judgment. Upon asking who this man was, it was said that he is someone who used to lie. This is the azab of somebody who lies. And the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, because of the bad smell that emanates from a person who lies. When you lie, there's a smell that comes from your mouth. The angels run away the distance of 1 mile. 1 mile, the angels move away from you because the smell that's coming from your mouth. This is when somebody lies. So how do we change? The way we change, we go on the Madini kafilas. We attend the weekly ijtimaas. We do Fikr-e-Madina every night. we listen to the bayans of Amir Ahl Sunnat, the full system, if we adopt it, inshallah, you'll see a change in yourself. But we need to be part of the system. Don't just be somebody who comes to the ijtima. Become part of the system. This system is here to better yourself. So, thank Allah Ta'ala that He's given you this environment, but also make use of it. Make use of this environment. Don't be a part-timer. Become full-time Dawat Islami and get involved in the works of Dawat Islami. Talk to people according to their understanding and according to their intellect. Inshallah, you'll be successful in carrying out the work of Deen. Ameen, bijahi Nabi Ameen, wa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
O Muballik, for you is my prayer. O Muballik, for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success share. O Muballik, for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success stair.